Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, the host with the most, Joe Shortridge, and his sidekick, Shoddy.
Yeah.
That's me. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome,
Joseph, my brother. So, Joe, I've got a breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bum, bum, bum. As reported in CBC Radio on May 15th, 2020. Breaking news.
Breaking news from May.
Haunted house reports on the rise during pandemic, paranormal researcher says.
Well, we've been saying that a lot.
John E.L. Tenney says, more people are Tenney. At home. The Tenney.
We will get him on the show.
Yes.
He keeps asking us, when are you going to have me on your show? And I just want to do it in person. I don't want to do a call-in with John.
Would love to see him in person. Okay. All right. It says, more people are taking notice of their environment. I'm going to paraphrase. But John E.L. Tenney is a paranormal researcher and former host of TV's Ghost Stalkers. You have seen him on Kindred Spirits recently as well. He says the new normal is bringing out the paranormal. He also says he receives 2 to 5 calls a month from people convinced their homes are haunted. But since the COVID-19 restrictions started, he says he gets 5 to 10 calls per week. It's not me. I'm not calling and hanging up on you, Johnny. New York Times also noticed the uptick. The newspaper recently interviewed Tenney for a feature about Penny Rogers, who are stuck at home with what they believe are roommates from the beyond.
From the beyond. Dun, dun, dun. And,
there's no scientific evidence for the existence of ghosts, the newspaper notes, but Tenney spoke to As It Happens host Carol Off about what got so people spooked. So here's part of their conversation. Everything typical from knocks and footsteps in the hallway to new strange occurrences like people hearing whispered voices through their television sets or getting text messages from long deceased friends and relatives. And it goes on to say, with a picture of Don Cheney looking very serious.
He's always serious.
That perhaps
does he have one eyebrow up by chance?
Yes, he does.
He always does.
Always does. That ghosts are getting bored too, and they're making themselves a little bit more known. And, you know, they're not used to being seen during the day, but now they are appearing all times of the day and night. So he also goes on to say that maybe people are just a little nuts because they've been stuck inside forever, but it's bound to happen. I mean, if you're going all day, you don't see your ghosts roaming around, you know.
The ghosts are probably getting mad because you're at home all the time and they want to be left alone to get into the fridge and
root through your trash. Do you mind if I root through your trash?
Did you ever see
my mom's laugh?
Poltergeist Activity where the cupboards are slamming and all that? That's just them looking for something.
Yes. I left my keys in here. But anyways, the article goes on and there's a very nice picture of him and Aaron Sagers.
Oh, Aaron, yeah.
Doing a Q&A. But anyways, ghost activity is up at people. Haunted houses on the rise.
It's hard to say because even like in the interview, he mentions how so many people are stuck inside.
Yeah.
And you know that if you stay at a stranger's house, you hear all the knocks and bangs that the house does. Well, if you're not at home all the time, how do you know that that's not going on during the day, whether it's the house heating up or cooling down or just making its normal noises?
You know, like, you know, here in the Midwest, we have a lot of construction with wood. So, you know, the heat expands it and the cold contracts it. And if you ever hear like a board pop, it's pretty loud in your house. And you're like, what was that? What was that?
I heard one today when I was doing some research for the show tonight. I'm in my house and it never fails. There's always some kind of ticking sound or not really a bang, but more of like a tick. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's something. Who knows what it is?
I put this online the other day. I don't know if everybody else or anybody else has this happen, but I run my fan at night because I like the cool air on me when I'm sleeping. But
chill.
I always think I hear people talking when my fan's running, like
I've
conversations.
I've heard that too, and you kind of wonder, if it's just the motor going wah, 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 wah?
I don't know, because it sounds like real conversation. I had to get up and look outside because I thought, is somebody standing outside my window? It was weird. I don't know. It happens every time I turn the fan on. But
yeah.
Especially when you're in that just about to fall asleep stage and hear somebody talking. You're like, what the heck is going on?
My vent noise is getting louder. I've got to get up in my attic and fix that.
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody gnawing on the side of the house, just went, wah. And it's weird because it echoes.
Your neighbor with his leaf blower.
Yeah. It echoes through the house because it's such a small little vent.
Mm-hmm.
When I went up to the attic, I actually, it was a while ago, but I filmed it for Facebook Live, and it's just a little fin
mm-hmm.
on the vent making noise when the air flows over it, but it's so loud at night.
Does it sound like a gazoo?
Yeah.
So, Joseph,
mm-hmm.
new stories, new information, breaking scientific information coming out of Scotland.
Yes.
Loch Ness Monster appears again.
We've, as kids, heard about the Loch Ness Monster all the time.
In Search Of. Do you remember that episode? Oh, Leonard Nimoy. Yes. So this has been a legend that has gone on for centuries, probably longer than that. I don't know. What's longer than a century?
I don't know.
A decade?
A multi-century?
My mom puts her finger up. She gave me the finger.
Mom just gave me the finger. We're sitting in Ma's kitchen.
Yes, we are taping in the
kitchen. Taping in the kitchen because we are spending time with Mother.
Hello, Mother.
She's making us.
She made us spaghetti. It was delicious. But anyways, so there's a new plausible theory for Nessie going around, and this is breaking news out of the UK. This is from a year ago last month.
Oh, so it's, the first one was breaking news from May,
yeah,
and this is now breaking news from last year.
Right.
Okay.
International team of scientists say they have identified a plausible theory for sightings of the Loch Ness Monster. So a team of... A team took 250 water samples from various depths throughout the loch last year, collecting all forms of environmental DNA for further analysis. Well, they didn't come face to face with Nessie, as she's called. That is her nickname.
Yes.
Scientists say they have a biological explanation for the creature. So they are going to release some further studies, but here's what they came up with. So New Zealand's University of Otago has led the work and aimed at cataloging all of the current life in Loch Ness, including plants, insects, fish, and mammals. Okay. It's gonna be a rough one, guys. Buckle up, buttercups. The DNA from the water samples was extracted and sequenced, resulting in about 500 million sequences that now have been analyzed against the existing database. Geneticist Professor Neil Grummel was quoted as saying, "There have been over 1,000 reported sightings of something in Loch Ness, which have driven this notion of a monster being in the water. From those sightings, there are around 4 main explanations about what has been seen." The researchers essentially discount most of the theories, however, one is plausible. The theory, along with the full results of the investigation, are going to be revealed at a place called Drumnadrochit. I didn't say
that again.
Drumnadrochit.
Oh.
I will not say that again. So the Loch Ness Monster is one of Scotland's oldest and most enduring myths. It's inspired books, TV shows, films, and sustains the major tourism industry in and around there. So the story of the monster can be traced back, I think, over 1,500 years ago.
Yeah, there was a Saint Columba back in 565. He said he witnessed a monster in the lake. He was visiting there, and he came upon some men burning a body. And, you know, because they did that back then. It was like
a is that what they did?
Giant pit, yeah. But anyways, they were burning the body they said was snatched and mauled by a beast in Loch Ness.
Mm.
And by the way, if we say loch, that's just the way that the Scottish say their name for lake.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, you know, like we say Lake Erie, it'd be Loch Erie.
We should just start calling it that.
Loch Erie.
Let's make the trend
okay.
happen.
Yes. Okay. And then after that, in the 1700s and 1800s, there were multiple reports of sightings.
So in 1565 AD, according to the biographer, St. Columba was on his way to visit the king in the Northern Picts near Inverness when he stopped at Loch Ness to confront a beast that had been killing people in the lake.
Okay.
After seeing the large beast about to attack another man, St. Columba intervened, invoking the name of God and commanding the creature to go back with all speed, and the monster retreated and never harmed another man.
So he took command over the beast.
He did. Wrangle it. I command you, beast.
Nessie Wrangler.
You should put that on your resume, Joe.
Yeah.
Nessie.
I'm Nessie Wrangler.
Loch Erie.
In Loch Erie. There is, isn't there a story of a animal in Loch Erie?
Yeah, yeah. I think all of the Great Lakes have some
story.
Legend. I think there's Bessie, which is in Canada somewhere, but I'm sure it's probably one of the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Ogopogo.
Ogopogo, yeah.
So good to say that. I just love that word.
So what's your theory about this? I mean, do you think that there is a Platysaurus or whatever it is?
Yeah, I definitely think there's something probably prehistoric. There's probably one or two left, and, you know, maybe they have a very long lifespan. And now, you know, you look at the locks, there is cavernous areas down underneath, which they could definitely hide out in there. There could be some sort of octopus type thing. You know, mm-hmm. they like to hide in the crevices and the cracks. And, you know, if their food source is down there, there probably wouldn't be much need for them to surface.
That's the thing, too. I was thinking is maybe, you know, when they go and do their scans and all that of the lake, the thing gets frightened and it buries itself in the mud or in one of those crevices.
Sure.
I mean, that's what fish do now. There's certain fish that actually bury themselves in the mm-hmm. mud.
And, you know, maybe it only surfaces at night. It could be nocturnal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just comes up for air maybe once, come up once a day. Who knows?
It could have such a slow metabolism rate that it doesn't need to move like a sloth. I mean, sloths move super slow.
Right.
And it might even hibernate for years. It may go and sleep for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in Nessie years, it could only be like 40 years old.
Right. But yeah, I mean, anything is plausible. There was talk at one time of it being a giant eel.
Yeah.
Which is very possible. I mean, we've seen eels reach, you know, quite big circumference in length.
I do know that in that study that you were talking about with the water samples, they did find a high level of eels in the water mm-hmm. in that lake. And there are giant eels in that lake. They know for a fact they've seen them.
Okay.
But they're not, when they say giant, you're talking
five feet?
Yeah.
5 feet?
Not the 30 foot or whatever that mm-hmm. they say that the monster is.
But who's to say that there isn't some branch of those type of animals or fish or whatever an eel is considered that maybe has giganticism and just
you never know.
One just got really big and it just floats around and
the
pokes,
dominant male
pokes its head out. Like, what's up? Lockers.
Now, I'm not positive how cold it gets there.
I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. So what about this thing, too? There's actual frogs that freeze themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they actually go completely frozen only to come back to life in the springtime. So how do we know that this thing is not doing that same thing?
It could very well. So the lock normally only gets to and stays at 6 degrees Celsius,
okay.
which is 42.5 degrees
All right.
in our temperature, in American temperature, 42 degrees, people. So it doesn't ever freeze, but it is so consistently cold. You can't swim in it. I mean,
yeah.
you could, but you'd freeze your tailpipe off.
Your Nessie off.
And they also say the water is so dark, you can't see hardly in front of you at all because the peat runs off of the mountains Because what a lake, you know, a loch is, it's carved out of the mountains. The glaciers had scraped along it and left its remnants of snow and ice, creating these lakes. So it has deep caverns. It's extremely dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face when you get in the water, even just a little, you know, even if you, like, you know, rode 10 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the lochs are like that in Ireland because of the soil.
Yeah. And it's always raining. It's always foggy. So even when people are looking at the lake, it's lots of times it's obscured by the fog where you can't see much. So it's got to be really clear day to see down onto the lake because it is very steep on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous or most common photos, I should say, is taken with the vantage point of seeing the castle at the end of the lake. And that's the Urquhart Castle, which is located on the shores of Loch Ness and on the rocky prominence they call Stone Point. It dates back to the 13th century. It was built by Alan Durwood, son-in-law of King Alexander II. And it was demolished during a war, but they rebuilt it, and you can actually go there and visit. It's a tourist attraction now.
Oh, how cool.
So they rebuilt it.
Love old castles.
But that's one of the most common photos is they put the castle in the photo so you can see the lake.
Yeah. I did also read that there's been many, 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 many people who have died on the lake or were sacrificed or war happened and they were killed. So, you know, you also have a little bit probably of some paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. There have been reports of, like, people seeing ghostly figures in the lighthouse, one of the lighthouses that are on the lake, and also in some of those abandoned castles and manor houses that are around the lake.
I did see that one of the interesting thing is about the bottleneck dolphins.
Yeah, so they hang out in the estuary, which is like the space that it's the part of the sea that the lake, some of the lakes flow into.
Okay.
And it's rare to see them because they are a certain breed that can be in that chilly water. And they're a smaller breed of dolphins, and they have a lot of blubber.
Oh, a lot of blubber.
Kind of look like me. But it's possible because they did make some channels to open up the lake, to get into the lake, because instead of going all the way around Adriatic Sea. No, I don't know. Whatever the sea is, they had, you know, at one point opened up some channels so you could navigate some of the lochs.
In 1822, they opened up Loch Ness as part of the Caledonian Canal so that the ships can go through the center instead of going all the way around. Sort of like the Sault Ste. Marie lochs.
Yes, which was very, very cool.
Which is a loch, not a lock.
Good one,
it's
Joe.
It's actually a lock, not a lock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
L-O-C-K, L-O-C-H. There are other lochs that have other monsters.
Yeah.
Nessie is tied to Loch Ness, but there are several different lochs that have monsters with different nicknames. So there's Loch Arcraig, which they call the Water Horse. There's Loch Awe, which is they call a Beath Nach Mor. Don't know what that means.
Okay.
Lockie. There's Loch Lockie. Lizzie is the monster there. There's Loch Lomond. So there's the Loch Lomond monster. Loch Mari. So Muckshelech. I don't know if I said that right. Loch Morar. There's the Morag. That is a legend in that lake. Of course, Nessie. And then there's also one called Loch Swayanavel. Oh, man.
Swayanavel.
Or they call it Lewis for short.
Okay.
They have something called the Water Colt, which is interesting. So it's not just Loch Ness that has legend, that has these
I think it's
sightings.
Just because of how the popularity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, people don't realize that there's a lot of different lochs in Scotland or lakes that have other sightings. And who knows what they are, but
And what's unique about Loch Ness is it's the deepest loch. It's not the biggest. Now, no. Loch Lomond is the largest.
Okay.
But Loch Ness has the deepest crevasse, I guess they would call it, of them all.
Yeah. It says here that it is Loch Ness. The area is 56 kilometers. The length is 39 kilometers. And the depth is 230 meters deep.
Wow. So 3 foot and a meter, so like 700 feet deep. Wow, that's crazy.
And, you know, being that deep, and if it is a sea creature that's obviously lived there a long time, it adapts itself to it. Let's say they bring down a submarine. The thing's going to notice the submarine before the submarine notices it. Mm-hmm. Just like we mentioned with Bigfoot, it could be to where it just takes off and goes the other side of the lake, or like I said earlier, might bury itself.
Sure. And it could have some kind of, you know, most of the like larger mammals, like a whale or a dolphin, they have some kind of sonar.
Yeah.
Or ultrasound. Like I just saw this article before I got here about a dolphin that came up and put its nose on a pregnant woman's belly because it gives off ultrasound. Ultrasound, I guess you would call it. And it could hear the woman's baby's heartbeat. And it was like, it had its nose on its belly, like it was checking it out.
Oh.
Which I thought was interesting. So, you know, it could have that defense mechanism built right in that, you know, if it does hear something whooshing or whirling or coming at it, it's going to, you know, hightail it out of there.
So, how many lakes are there in Scotland?
Oh my gosh. You guys, take a quick guess, okay? How many do you think there are?
Scotland's not that big, so I'm thinking maybe 1,000.
31,460 freshwater lochs in Scotland alone, which is crazy because you don't think of it as being such a big place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the British Isles, but yeah, just interesting that there's more than 7,500 in the Western Isles alone. Now, the lochs are spread out throughout the counties, but the most numerous are within the majority of the larger lochs, and they're mostly in, like, linear form, so they're long.
Oh, yeah, because of the glacier.
Mm-hmm.
Glaciation.
Glaciation.
Now, could you read all of them off?
Sure. I literally have a list of every lock. I know, that's what came out to you. And most of it's like kind of like Gaelic words, which I would never get right. But, you know, some of them are.
But they're pretty good size. I mean, I was looking at some of the pictures of them. I mean, obviously all of them are not going to be huge, but they're pretty good size. And I think that's the reason there's so many is because of the glaciers going through there and carving out. I mean, that's how the Great Lakes happened.
Right. It's interesting. We only have 5, but they have 31,000, right?
But ours are better.
Ours are Loch
Erie. We spell it the right way.
Loch Erie. Yeah, I mean, there's like Loch of Warehouse, Loch of Watson, Loch of Webster, Loch Vaugh, Loch Valley in Galway. So, yeah, I mean, I could read all these off, but I won't bore you guys. You can look them up.
So, okay, everybody has seen the famous photo of the neck and head sticking out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little backstory on that. Okay, so that picture was actually taken in the 30s. And they call it the surgeon's photo because of a surgeon that actually took the photo of it. Okay. But in 1975, this gentleman came out and admitted that it was a fake. Mm. Ian Webro came forward and said that his father made that fake photo. He gave the... Well, let me explain why. His dad was named Marmaduke.
Mm-hmm.
Webro. He was a big game hunter and also a journalist. And he came up with a story that he found footprints in the dirt from the lake monster.
Okay.
Only to find out that he actually took a taxidermied hippo leg and was making the footprints with this hippo leg. And when he was called out on it, his revenge was he went out and got a little toy submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Put a head and body on this thing and made it out of modeling clay
mm-hmm.
and made this little body. And in the photo, you can't tell how big it is, but it's actually like 6 inches.
Oh, man.
And he actually came out and said that he bought the little submarine, put it in the water. The surgeon took the photo, so it wasn't linked back to him.
Oh, okay.
And that was that's the world famous photo of Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, which everybody now knows is a fake. Yeah. There was another photo of these four humps in the water. And the guy said, oh, that's it. That's Nessie. Well, that turns out he made that fake also. It was just four bales of hay that he had covered up.
Oh, wow.
So, but recently, there was a photo that just came out, a color photo of what they say is the Loch Ness Monster. But a lot of people are saying it's a giant catfish.
Oh.
So who knows? And being that there's eels and all that kind of stuff in there, who knows what it could be?
Yeah, like I didn't think they had catfish in the locks, but that, you know.
It is. Yeah, there's big.
Some of those catfish can get pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking like 5-6 feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And who knows how long they can last or how long they can live. Oh, I mean, we've seen where tortoises can last for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Or I keep saying last. They can live for hundreds of years. But you know what I'm trying to battle out.
No. Yeah, so here's some like interesting facts just about Loch Ness. You know, these are really cool. So thousands of visitors come to Loch Ness every year for the beautiful scenery, to catch a glimpse of the Loch Ness famous resident. But there's more to it than what you heard. So the Loch Ness contains more water than all the lakes in England and Wales combined, making it the most voluminous lake in the UK. But it's not Scotland's biggest, like I had mentioned, the Loch Lomond. So, like I said, Loch Ness is 42.8 degrees consistently. Mm-hmm. So it says if you're, you know, not a fan of open water swimming, you might want to look elsewhere. It never freezes over, and the loch is, even on very cold days, you see the steam rising out of it because it maintains that 6 Celsius degrees. And the surrounding air is usually cooler than the water.
Yeah.
Before we had modern roads along the shores of Loch Ness, people traveled all over the loch by paddle steamer. They say it's still the best way to view the loch, and you can always, take one of the tours. They have touristy boats.
You know, and that's another thing, too, is once like I mentioned earlier, in 1822, they opened it up as a canal-type deal system. A lot of those paddle boats came through. And that's where the sightings really ramped up because those more boats going through and more people seeing.
Yeah, having access to the lake.
Yeah.
They said once they put the highway in, people were crashing the cars, like back in the early, early days when cars were first around, people were crashing the cars because they were seeing stuff in the lake.
Yeah.
There's a lighthouse called the Bona Lighthouse. It's one of the Scotland's smallest manned lighthouses. The lighthouse keeper used to put a lantern in the window to guide ships from the Loch Ness into Loch Dauk 4, one loch to the other. It's completely restored and is available as a holiday home, so you can rent it. It's like an Airbnb.
Oh,
How cool is that? Urquhart Bay. So the Urquhart Bay is on Loch Ness, and it's surrounded by woods from a place called Drumnadrochit. I said that earlier a lot better than I just did here. It's a site of special scientific interest. Here, the woods lying between the rivers Enric and Colty are one of Britain's last remnants of swampy woodland, and they are a haven for birds, especially the warbler kind, they say. There's also, this is interesting, there's a place called the Coromoni Chambered Burial Cairn, and it's in Glenurquhart. Art. Okay. It was built around 2000 BC, so it's extremely old and steeped in history. It has, it's known for a passage grave, which is encircled by 11 standing stones. A passage grave is made up of a narrow passage using large built stones. And in this particular one leads from the burial chamber and is covered in earth or stone.
Interesting.
Love to see that. I would love it. There was a world water speed record on Lake or Loch Ness. Mm-hmm. In 1952, John Cobb lost his life when he was trying to gain the world's water speed record. Indeed, it was a risky feat as he was traveling 206 miles an hour on Loch Ness when his craft cruiser crashed.
Yeah. They say that he hit something in the water.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That they, yeah, they said he hit something in the water, and when they went to investigate, they couldn't find anything that he hit. So.
Yes, he got a headache.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of stories like that where there was another story, and I don't remember the year, but there was a fishing boat out on the lake, and it hit something, and the father was in the boat with them. When he looked over the side to see what they hit, he was so shocked that he actually had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And they brought the ship in, and in the propeller, there were 1 foot by about 3 foot sections of actual fleshy material, they said, black fleshy material.
Oh.
And they took the boat out of water, took it to his mechanics to get that out of there, and the mechanics actually threw that stuff back in the water. And when they found that out, the guy went nuts and was, because they had actual evidence of this creature.
Oh, man.
In the prop, and the mechanics threw it out. So there's
way to go, mechanics.
They don't know if it, I mean, that's one of the legends. Mm-hmm. Who knows if it happened or not, but right. That's one of the stories. But it is an actual fact that the person died by a heart attack on that boat.
That's cool. Now, the city of Inverness. So Inverness, meaning mouth of the River Ness, is the most northerly city in the United Kingdom. Its early evidence of settlement here is thought to date back to the 6th century when it was a Pictish stronghold. So roughly one-third of the population of the Highlands of Scotland live in or close to Inverness. In fact, Inverness is one of Europe's fastest growing cities with a population of 63,000. did you know that Loch Ness has an island in it?
No.
It's, there's only one island, and the tiny island is called Cherry Island, and it's near Fort Augustus. So it's not an island. It's, in fact, a man-made structure known for its crannog. And its real name is Murdoch's Island. It was designed to provide a fortified retreat for local people when threatened. They were building and used it for the purpose somewhere between the Iron Age and the 16th century.
So do you think that it's an animal that reproduces and there's several of them in there? Or do you think it's just one creature that's been living there forever?
My thought, I'm not 100% sure, but I would think it's just one that's been stuck there forever. Like, you remember the Greenland shark?
Yeah.
It's over 600 years mm-hmm. old, and they've have video of that creature, you know, still swimming.
Yeah.
And feeding, although it's lost its eyesight, it's still, you know, it moves very, very slowly. But who's to say there isn't a 1,000-year-old animal?
Yeah.
I mean, that has, like you said, mm-hmm. a very slow metabolism,
yeah.
and, you know, maybe doesn't require a lot of food. Maybe it hibernates half the year. We don't know.
Yeah. And people are like, I mean, I've talked to people about this, and they say, well, how can there be a dinosaur in the water? But we found dinosaur fish.
Yeah.
There's the coelacanth,
mm-hmm.
which has been known to be extinct for millions of years, and one time, I don't know, back in the 30s, I think, or 20s, mm-hmm. there was a guy going through one of the fish markets overseas, and here's this coelacanth sitting there for sale. And since then, they found them in the wild, actually in the water.
And they were, yeah, and they were never found because of the murky water that they lived in. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, like, people weren't looking for them
yeah.
in particular.
It's so. A weird fish. It's not, you know, people think, well, okay, maybe it's like 6 inches or that this thing is like 3 to 4 foot long or
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
And it's blue.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a blue fish. It's so bizarre.
Interesting.
But it's still a relic. It's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
And we have them also, you know, you have the crocodiles and all that. Those are dinosaurs too. So
who's to say it isn't? Mm-hmm. I'm more leaning towards that than a giant eel.
Yeah.
Because the eel eventually, wouldn't you think something would wash up on the shore? Like it would die? I guess if it was dead and it would fall to the bottom, right? So maybe it's just a bottom feeder.
And all the bottom feeders would eat it, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of the weird things is when they were dredging the bottom or whatever, they found some weird things. I know. Tell me the story about the golf balls. Because I know you mentioned it earlier.
So during many searches for Nessie, scientists and researchers found no trace or evidence of the monster, but they have found thousands and thousands of golf balls.
I guess the Scottish play a lot of golf.
I guess they do. Highland and Inverness.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's crazy. Hopefully that didn't choke Nessie and kill her.
Yeah. Like that Seinfeld episode
golfers.
Where the whale had a golf ball in its end.
Oh, God. Oh, that's terrible. I hope that doesn't happen.
But, I mean, who knows what this is? If it's still alive, I mean, is it just giant sturgeon or is it giant catfish? We don't know. But sightings have been going on since the year, the earliest one was 565.
Yeah. I hope it never is. It's kind of like the legend of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Like, I just hope the mystery always remains so people have that hope and that mystery and can still chase it.
You know, and you just made me think of something too, which I didn't look up, but I wonder if there's Bigfoot and UFO. I know there's UFO sightings over there.
Yes.
But I wonder if there's any Bigfoot sightings around there.
I don't know.
I've never heard.
Because it is an island, so I don't know.
I've never heard of Bigfoot sightings in Scotland.
Okay, people, if you
There's
have...
black dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Panther sightings, too, in England. Large cats. I saw a panther. It was black, and it was going around my garden, and then it took a little wee on my roses.
I think you've lost your mind.
Yes, by this point. My birds agree.
Yeah.
My birds are squawking. Yes, they agree. For sure.
Yeah, so, you know, if you guys have any experiences with this, let us know. Or if what's your opinion?
Yeah, have you guys been there? Has anybody been there? Oh, my gosh. That would just be like bucket list, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the top five of the bucket list.
After we go to England next year to see the castles.
Yes, England or Ireland.
Ireland.
One of the other. We are definitely got to get over there.
Yeah.
Got to get our passports, Joe.
It's time. Yeah, I'm working on it.
Time to travel. Yeah.
So anyways, before we let you go, we want to remind you, please, please, please get up on our website. We have t-shirts for sale. I still have the price at $17.
Very good prices. $17. Very cute. All different sizes and shapes and styles. There's V-necks. There's round necks. There's masks. You guys can get the 222 masks. Paranormal Podcast face mask and also ones that say Paranormal Investigator, which you need when you go in these dusty buildings.
We should have been using them before the pandemic too. We mentioned it so many times. We should have masks on.
How many times we've gone into these old dusty buildings and come out and then you have black boogers. Can we say booger on the air? Booger. Definitely, you know, it's a small way you could support the show is share the show when we post it and, you know, go on our website and, or there's a link on our Facebook page too. If you guys want to shop and get some really cool, seriously squatchy t-shirts or, you know, we're not alone.
And yeah.
All those other fancy sayings we have.
I should make one that says Nessie is real.
I believe.
I'll work on that.
I believe.
I will work on that.
You can do it. You can do it.
All right. Well, like we said, sharing the show is free. The t-shirts are $17. But if you would please get up there, buy 1,000 t-shirts and pass them out as Christmas gifts. Christmas is coming and you order them now because...
Order them now so we have money to go to Loch Ness.
There you go.
And then we will investigate for you and do a live broadcast from Loch Ness.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks a lot, everyone. We'll let you go and have a great week. Let's listen to a little bit of Crud. All right.